G'day, and welcome to another episode of Left After Breakfast, coming to you from Melbourne, Australia. My name is Susanna Duffy.
3CR.
And on the program today, we pay tribute to an inspirational leader of working people. Dare to struggle, dare to win. If you don't fight, you lose. And that was the catch cry by which John Cummins lived a life dedicated to working people and to the underdog. He certainly did dare to struggle, and he most definitely dared to win. John died after a 12-month battle with cancer on the 29th of August 2006. He was just 58. John grew up in Melbourne's inner north and supported the Fitzroy Lions until the club was sold to Brisbane. He went to Parade College and played footy for his school, and he captained their first team in his final year. He went on to a tertiary education, and struggles of the time brought profound changes to John's outlook and ambitions. Working in blue-collar jobs like the production line at Northcote Pottery accelerated those changes, so it was no surprise when he rejected a career in teaching and looked to a more radical political and working life. He began working in the building industry in 1972, immediately joining the Builders Labourers Federation, an organisation of which he remained an active and influential member until it amalgamated with the CFMEU in 1994. Cummo worked as a labourer and a scaffolder on some prominent jobs in Melbourne, including Collins Place and the Westgate Bridge, where he became a union activist. It was his determination and considerable skills on the job that came to be noticed, and he gained the position of organiser for the BLF in Melbourne. His next stint was in the Pilbara region of Western Australia, where he succeeded the late Jim Bacon as an organiser in 1980. As most of you would know, Jim was later to become the Premier of Tasmania. John's wife, Di, and young son, Mick, made the move to the Pilbara remote area with him. It was a wild time there during the last big minerals boom, and the industrial climate certainly put Cummo under extreme pressure, but he thrived on the challenge and became a popular and effective organiser. It was during this time in the West that his second son, Shane, was born. He returned to Melbourne and took up organising in the increasing rough and tumble of an industry under pressure from the Fraser Liberal government. His work continued under the Hawke Labor government, and he worked even harder throughout the deregistration of the BLF under the Kaine State Labor government in 1986 and 1987. He was prosecuted many times for trespassing on sites and imprisoned for those activities and for breaching court orders. Many times he was physically removed from the site by police, but continued to return to service union members. As Cummo explained why he was in jail to his boys, to his young sons, "I reckon if I don't tell the judge how to do his job, then he shouldn't tell me how to do mine." Cummo led by example, helping other BLF members resist the intimidation tactics. Many construction workers saw him as the front line. However, in the early 1990s, faced with a second five-year deregistration of the BLF, Cummo and other BLF members around Australia were forced to choose between continuing to fight an increasingly onerous battle on their own or amalgamating into the new CFMEU, a union which included its old political and industrial rivals, the BWIU, the Building Workers Industrial Union. Cummo and those supporting amalgamation won the argument, and the merger took place in 1994. Many people seemed surprised at Cummo's willingness to be a part of the team with people who had been opposed to him. Johnny Setka asked him once how he could forgive people who had fought hard against him in the past, and Camo said, "You can't hold it against them for being loyal to their union." You see, he had the ability to rise above the personal, and that really is the sign of leadership. In 1996, Camo was elected president of the Victorian branch of the CFMEU. In this role, he played a major part in building a strong team under a new leadership drawn from all parts of the new union. As part of this team, he played an influential and positive role in developing the wages policy and strategies that saw wage increases, shorter hours and improved long service leave entitlements for Victorian construction workers. The success was ongoing, and it resulted in the Howard government singling out the CFMEU for special attention in the form of legislative attacks. Camo faced the Coal Royal Commission and conducted himself in the dignified but combative manner that such a politically motivated witch hunt deserved. Camo will be remembered for his tenacity, his principles, and strategic brilliance. Few union officials could hold a candle to John at a mass meeting. He was charming, charismatic, and possessed a wicked sense of humour. Camo loved a beer, a bet, and the Fitzroy and North Heidelberg football clubs. And he loved the building industry. And he also loved his family. John Cummins was the most respected unionist of his generation, an inspirational leader of construction workers, a mentor to so many, and a man who served his union and workers like few others ever have. He is sorely missed. Vale, John Cummins. Dare to struggle. Dare to win. If you don't fight, you lose. In Camo's own words, you've done yourself a treat. 3CR. And I'll just stop here for a moment and play a song dedicated to all construction workers. It's Roaring Jack with the lads of the BLF. Here's to the boys in the building trade under the flag of the old stockade.
remember the first time meeting him was when Brendan Murphy brought him down to Geelong, and the guy certainly had an aura about him. Whether it be an arsehole boss or an old BL, when he entered a room, everyone stopped. You know, he just had that and respect. He had the respect from both sides, which was a hard thing to do in the industry, especially with its cut and thrust amongst the old us and them. But he certainly had the respect from both sides. Yeah.
We'll go into this meeting, and I've heard of John Cummins. Never actually met him before that, but you can see him coming towards the mass meeting, and the presence of the man was just amazing. And everybody sort of, looks up to Johnny, and it was just amazing how everybody's tune changes when Johnny was around.
We just heard from Sean Reardon and from Tony Mav. And now let's hear from Terry Costello with the Builder's Labourer song, with a new Camo verse.
Camo was a mighty unionist, a BL through and through, a warrior of the working class. He spoke for me and you. He saw through bosses' bullshit and never sold us short. Dare to struggle, dare to win was the lesson that he taught. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history, we never will be cowed. For builder's labour is the name to make a worker proud. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fight in history, we never will be cowed. A builder's labour is the name to make a worker proud.
Good morning, you're listening to 3CR, the only radio left.
We're talking about John Cummins, Cummo, in this program today. And we'll hear some more from Sean Reardon.
There was no pretense about the man. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, this industry, I suppose, men in general, it's full of egos, but you never saw an ego with John. It was... He was always measured in the way he spoke, so even if there was members or union officials or bosses having an argument, he'd often stay silent for the first 5 minutes, and he'd always think before he spoke. And I think that was one of his assets. It was there was nothing fake about him. He was measured, and everything he said and everything he did was, for the cause.
John, I know he'd been injured pretty badly in an accident as a young worker himself. He'd worked at the Westgate Bridge in the wake of its collapse, so he, like a whole generation of workers, had the consequences of bad safety burned into his psyche and into his soul, and he was hard on safety, as you've always got to be hard on safety on the job.
As far as safety, if guys were working unsafely, just shut that section of work, and don't think twice.
Was really clear about Cummo, and the work that he did on safety was again about saying there's nothing more basic than delivering safety for workers, because you can win all the great battles in the world, but if you're putting your life at risk, there's nothing more important than to know that you're going to get home at the end of the day.
You think you're going to come back alive, you kiss your wife and your kids goodbye. Well, you know you're gonna play to survive. Sometimes I lie awake at night and think about the ones who died. The riggers and the chippies and the boilermakers, the boys who had nowhere to hide. I think about how proud we were and how we got a bad job done. Gotta trust who you're working with when the steel starts to buckle in the sun. And the cold wind blows down by the river.
bridge came down.
Now let's hear from the BL from the bush.
Yeah, morning comrades, morning listener. BL from the bush calling in, hoping you're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Well, speaking of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Susanna's already made mention of the late and great Johnny Cummins. Well, that used to be his catch cry on the original Concrete Gang back in the day. Also known as Harold on that show. You'd always start off with that and finish with the legendary dare to struggle, dare to win. If you don't fight, you lose. You know, Cummo was a legend in his own right. You'd hate you saying that, but he was. He was an organiser of the Builders' Labours Federation and later on with the CMFEU. His work that he did for the benefit of the membership was second to none. His loyalty to the members was proven by the succession of achievements won by each union that he was involved with. You know, I had the pleasure of working with him in some couple of good blues. One springs to mind was the Loyang dispute in the early 80s, where the Hamer government and the MBA colluded together and sacked over 1,000 workers there. Eventually we won that blue, but through his leadership down there, along with, of course, Harry Carslake and Barry Kent, but with his leadership down there and the organising of the members down there, we won that blue. And also, we worked together out there while he was the organiser out there, when we had the blue at the airport with stopping the planes going to East Timor. Cummo was full of sayings, you know, and one of them, just speaking of that, was on that blue we had out there when things got a bit tight out there. He said, "Ah, fuck this, let's go stand in front of the plane to stop it taking off to Denpasar Airport and putting more pressure on the Indonesian government." But yeah, he had a few good ones, listener. I remember sitting with him once and there was a blue on, there was a worker injured. He's just looked at this boss and with the steely eyes and just said to him, "You fucked him, you fix him." And the fear that was in this boss's face, because the way it was said and the way it was meant, was that this boss was going to get the treatment that he deserved if the injured worker wasn't looked after. So, yeah, like, I might read a couple to you, listener, some of his sayings, you know, and one there, I'd say, and Susanna, it'd be one for you, is that on his sports commentating, or anyone, it was that as unbiased as a Collingwood cheer squad. And the famous, as I said before, on the fauna, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You know, Cummo always had this iconic way of thing. If you ever went to him with a bit of a problem or whatever, he'd just say, "Get on with it and stop sucking." One of his famous ones, and it's true, what's true to this day, is that, yeah, you can't organise from outside the gate. And you're only as good as your last blue, which, you know, it's how true is that. We like to sit back and just remember what a great legacy that bloke left behind, you know, with health and safety and whatever, and workers' conditions and pay, but his doggedness and his attitude to health and safety was driven by the ghosts of the West Gate Bridge. You know, Cummo was a worker on the West Gate Bridge and never forgotten the loss, the senseless loss, listener, the senseless loss of 35 lives there. But anyway, yeah, we always sort of listen, always sort of remember Cummo, his contribution to the workers' conditions, health and safety, contribution to the membership, and just to people alone, just didn't stay on the job. It was outside the job. If there was anyone in need of help or was struggling outside of a work, he'd do his best to help them. And if he didn't do it himself, he'd find someone else that could, or point them in the direction where they might be able to get a chop out somewhere. So, yeah, he's left a very big legacy behind him, listener. And I can say I was very proud to know him and to have him as a friend and a comrade.
You can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
I grew up with this bloke, and I'm very proud to say that I knew him and I worked with him very closely. But John Cummins entered the building and construction industry as a builder's labourer way back in 1972. And he immediately joined the BLF, an organisation that remained active and influential until it was amalgamated into what became the CFMEU. In the mid-70s, Cummo, we all knew John Cummins as affectionately as Cummo. Now, he worked as a labourer and a scaffolder in some important jobs in the city, Collins Place, and he worked on the West Gate Bridge. Cummo's quiet determination and considerable persuasive skills on the job ensured Norm Gallagher and the BLF executive took him into the office for the first time, the first stint as an organiser in Melbourne. Now, we all remember back to those days. We all remember Norm Gallagher for the good work that he'd done, bringing up the conditions, the wages of builders' labourers, because remember the old days when the first job you got on the building site was you're given a shovel and you were told to go into the corner and dig a hole because that was your toilet from that point on. That doesn't happen these days.
3CR.
Right, I've got a couple of Cummo t-shirts, and sometimes things on the job don't go that well. And I know, you know, it might sound funny, but I'll put one of my Cummo t-shirts on and you sort of go to work ready for a battle the next day. And in a little way it helps, but it's all about remembering as well.
If I was going to a blue and I knew that it was a bad one and I was feeling like, you know, pretending like I was absolutely fully confident and in charge, but shitting myself, I used to have this thing in you know, whether it was at night or in the morning when I was driving there, and I'd you know, I'd sort of imagine in the car with me that there'd be Cummo, Kieran Nichols, and, you know, Marco Masterson, and all that, and we're all headed off there together. You know what I mean? And it might sound funny, but you know, you could do that because of the way they live their lives, and you know that you're at just one link in a long chain, and how good that feels. You know?
I love him. He was the best man to talk, the man to help the people, help builders' labourers. He was created to help builders' labourers as the person he was.
Whilst at the same time, I know John until his death, and it'll be the same with me and hopefully my kids and grandkids, is that you're there in the struggle for a better world, not just a bigger share of this one.
A memorial service was held for Cummo on the 4th of September. More than 3,000 people packed the Regent Theatre, a building, of course, saved by the BLF in the 1970s. The stage of the theatre was decked out with a massive Eureka flag, and the coffin was decorated with symbols of Cummo's life. A football, footy jumpers, a beach shell from Sorrento, a hard hat, a denim jacket, and a Eureka flag. Projections above the stage showed moving photos of his life in struggle and him with family and friends. After the ceremony, the crowd marched through Melbourne streets behind Cummo's coffin, silent, but with fists in the air and carrying the old BLF flags. The march stopped traffic, as rallies led by Cummo had done throughout his life. When the march reached Trades Hall, they stopped and broke into the old chant, "Dare to struggle, dare to win. If you don't fight, you'll lose."
Well, I suppose probably the construction industry in Melbourne is probably the best organised section of unions, I believe, in the country. That's probably the legacy he's got. You know, every building site has got a genuine union. Not a union that stays away and gets paid by the boss. Like, she stays up, sticks up for the blokes, you know, and fights for their rights. So I suppose that's the real legacy of John, you know, the condition he's left his union in. It's up to us now to make sure that legacy's not taken away.
So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be to you all. So fill to me the parting glass. And drink a health, whate'er befall. Then gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be to you all.
Of all the comrades that e'er I had, the sorry for my going away.
Gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be to you all. Fill to me the parting glass and drink a health, whate'er befall. Then gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be to you all.